You're listening to WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport, Connecticut. We're streaming at WPKN.org. This is Ken McDermott. I'm here with Gus Cantavero.
Hello.
In case you just joined us, that was a pre-recorded interview with Professor Joan Mellon on the CIA's possible involvement in the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in Dallas in 1963. And unfortunately, assassinations have been a very frequent feature of politics down through the ages, and especially in America in the 20th and the last century. In our shows, we focused mainly on very important people who've been statesmen who've been assassinated, the Kennedy brothers, Martin Luther King, ancient statesmen like Julius Caesar. Mm-hmm. But assassinations also occur with people who are not famous statesmen. I think you've been looking into the murder of Pat Tillman.
That's right. While looking at his unfortunate and untimely death, I also learned that there's a documentary coming out called The Tillman Story, and it's actually set for release in August coming up, and it's going to be delving into the cover-up of his murder, you know, because it wasn't a battlefield death, and it wasn't an accidental friendly fire.
Before you go further, I should tell the listeners we're opening our phone lines. So if you'd to join the conversation, please call us at 203-336-9756. That's 203-336-9756. If you'd like to join the discussion here on assassinations, we'd very much like to hear from you, our listeners. How was Pat Tillman killed? It was in
Pat Tillman died when first, I guess I should start with the official report. The official report said that he was leading his platoon up a hill to charge the Taliban in a defensive position, and he was gunned down from Taliban fire. And later on, it came out months after he was celebrated as being this American hero, and he was the example that all of us should follow. And this really ties into the propaganda story that we did last month when we talked about the American military taking a figure and making you want to be like him.
Here he was, a great sports star who joined the army.
He was a sports star. He turned down the millions so that he could go over and fight for us and preserve our freedom and all that sort of stuff. And, he really believed that. And he turned down a $3.36 million contract from the Arizona Cardinals to go and enlist in the military. So he was shot. The strange parts of his death was that he was shot three times in the head by an American M16. And it was in a close try pattern from only 10 yards away. And if you know about, first it was an M16, so that tells you it wasn't the Taliban.
Right.
These AK-47s with a completely different round. And shooting someone in a close try pattern like that, where it's just three little dots in a triangle pattern, you can't do that from a sniper shot. You can't do that from full auto. That's three single shots from point blank range, essentially.
Right.
So he had been shot already. He was laying on the ground. They walked up to him and they executed him.
So what was the motive for killing Pat Tillman?
Pat Tillman had a brother who was also in the military. He was serving in Afghanistan at the time. And when they were at his first deployment in Iraq, they were watching the fireworks. You know, remember Shock and Awe? They were watching that. And he said to one of his comrades, Specialist Russell Bear, he said, you know, this war is so effing illegal. And he didn't say the word effing.
Yes.
He urged his entire platoon to vote against Bush in 2004. And that's only after joining the military in 2003. So it didn't take him very long once getting over there to actually realize what was going on. He had already had, and this was confirmed later from Noam Chomsky, that a friend of his, an intermediary, was arranging to have personal meetings to organize anti-war rallies upon his return in 2005, when his service was up.
So a propaganda dream turns into a propaganda nightmare.
Exactly, because the worst thing that could possibly happen is to have this guy who you advertised as an example for all young men to follow all of a sudden turn against you.
And he was a noble character. He was a good example for people to follow.
He was. He followed his heart, and he knew that this was very important, that we need to defend our freedom, and these guys want to kill us and all that stuff. And he bought the story, hook, line, and sinker. He put his life on the line, and eventually he paid the ultimate price for it. And one other thing was that Tillman's body armor and uniform was burned soon after because it was deemed a biohazard because of all the blood on it. General Wesley Clark was stated on Countdown with Keith Olbermann in July of 2007 that, quote, the orders came from the very top, unquote, in reference to initiating cover-up of the true nature of Tillman's death.
So they knew. They knew from the get-go.
From the start. There were many emails from Donald Rumsfeld where he talked about, the details of the death are murky, you know, using words like that.
So in this case, there was a resolution, but in other cases, we have suspicious deaths.
Oh, last thing. Investigation by Captain Richard Scott concluded gross negligence and criminal intent by U.S. soldiers and recommended further investigation and criminal sentencing. So there actually was an initial investigation, but it was immediately brushed aside.
So often the first person to look into it is honest, and then the higher-ups come into the picture. There are other cases where there's a suspicious death, but we don't know for sure if the person has been killed. You look into the case of McConnell, was it?
Michael Connell died December 19th, 2008. He died in a plane crash. And now, one of the worst things you could possibly do if you are... I'm getting a nice little message from somebody. He says that the M16 has a 3-round burst, except that you can't do that from 100 yards away in a close try pattern. It has to still be close by, so it doesn't matter. Your point is moot. December 19th, 2008, Michael Connell died in a plane crash. And the worst thing you can possibly do if you are a politically embattled person is to fly your plane. Not only ride in a plane, but to fly your own plane.
Planes seem to be a common situation for suspicious deaths. And you have one of the most interesting was Ron Brown, the Secretary of Commerce for Bill Clinton, who was in a plane crash in the former Yugoslavia. And I happened to be watching it on TV at the time, just after it happened. And the flash was that he had been killed. There was no explanation why. And the local leader was interviewed and said, I can't understand why the plane went down. The weather was perfect.
Right.
But then they go to the Pentagon, and they haven't even gotten to the plane wreckage, and they're showing you from the Pentagon offices what went wrong with the plane. Mm-hmm. I said, this is odd. How could they know? They haven't found the plane yet. Well,
yeah, there was evidence of electrical failures on the plane.
So Ron Brown's dead, and some time goes by, and a colonel in the United States Air Force who's an expert pathologist, is giving a lecture in Pittsburgh.
That's right.
And in his lecture, he says, sometimes you just have to have an autopsy to know what went on. And here's a case where clearly the investigation was blown. He said, here's Ron Brown's X-ray. This is his skull, and you can see a perfect 45 bullet hole in his skull. So this was headlines in the Pittsburgh papers. The story was not picked up by the national media, and the colonel was sent back to Washington and put basically on office arrest, and the story was buried. But clearly the man was shot. And at the time, he was under investigation. There were beliefs that he was taking payoffs in order to...
From the Chinese and Vietnamese, I think.
I think he was selling seats on trade missions. There were all sorts of problems. And he was about to be indicted. So there was a lot of embarrassment potential there. So
Ron Brown was quoted nearing the indictment as saying that he would, quote, not go to jail alone, unquote. That's nice. And his son was later pled guilty to money laundering. And then my other favorite one was that 3 days after the crash, Dubrovnik Airport Maintenance Chief Nilko Jerkiewicz found dead, ruled suicide by a rifle shot to the chest.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Suicides, the number of suicides of people who seem to have information that people don't want out.
I didn't even say what Michael Connell actually did. He was the IT consultant for Karl Rove. And he was hired in 2004 by Republican Secretary of State for Ohio to create the instant electronic vote counting system that transmitted the instant results to his company's system in Tennessee, where everything was warehoused. And the day before his death, he was deposed by attorneys about his involvement in the 2004 vote counting, where, if you remember, late at night in Ohio, the immediate vote exit polls said that John Kerry had won. And then later on, they said, no, wait a minute, the votes are changing in a landslide for Bush at the last minute. Bush is president again, yay.
And so they were afraid that he may divulge the secrets.
He was deposed by attorneys about his involvement. They wanted to know why was the activity so suspicious? Why did everything change at the last minute? You're the one that houses all this data in your own personal IT warehouse. Let's have access to that. And there was personal Karl Rove emails within his system, and he had refused access to those many times before. And he was also working with other Republican candidates And you know, they just wanted access to all his information. And boom, he's dead.
Now, of course, we don't know. We can't say for sure what happened there.
No.
But again, often
it's just coincidence.
It's often airplanes seem to be the way people go. And the nature of these things is the people who had the means to carry it out also have the means to suppress the investigation. So another very suspicious...
Another plane crash was Kennedy Jr.
Of course. John Jr. was killed. Let's see now. The date was the...
July 16th, 99.
And he had just been tapped for Patrick Moynihan's Senate seat, which eventually was occupied by Hillary Clinton. He had a small plane which crashed in the water near Martha's Vineyard. And there's a very interesting report, which you can see online if you go to... And by the way, our phone number again is 203-336-9756. You're listening to WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport, streaming at WPKN.org. This is Ken McDermott-Rowe and Gus Condivero of History Counts. And we're talking about assassinations. We started off with, of course, the JFK assassination. We're talking about other deaths that are either clearly assassinations or they're very suspicious. And John F. Kennedy Jr. Had reason to look to reopen the investigation of the assassination of his father, Jack, and of his uncle, Bobby, who we now know was not killed by Sirhan, that there was a man behind him who evidently did the shooting. So there were all sorts of reasons why the same people who pulled off the Kennedy assassination would not want to see him in the United States Senate.
Let's talk a minute about what the show is about, JFK. I read some entries into American Conspiracies, the book by... Jesse Ventura, former governor of Minnesota, and he talked about his personal meeting with Castro when he went down to Cuba to visit. And he asked Castro point blank, "Did you have anything to do with Kennedy's murder?" And you know, he said, "Why would I do that? JFK was great for Cuba. You know, he was against the CIA's interactions here, you know, Bay of Pigs and
that's right. Other it was his failure to support.
He was for lifting the travel embargo restrictions to Cuba after Kennedy was killed. Robert Kennedy, within a month, had sent a recommendation to the travel sector or the Department of Commerce, is it, I guess, saying that it's about time we lift the restrictions of travel to Cuba, and then it's very un-American and it doesn't help anybody. So, I mean, in Cuba, Castro also said that the Russians believed that Kennedy was somebody that they could negotiate with, that he was a man of reason that you could talk to.
As Professor Mellon said, Kennedy was conducting conversations with Castro and back channels at the very time that he was assassinated.
Right. Well, our time is kind of short tonight, so if you want to call, you better get it in now.
203-336-9756.
All right. Actually, you know what? I think we are out of time. So I'm just going to play a clip where I put together a little music piece with a few of my favorite quotes from John Kennedy. And we'll pick it up again next time. All right.
And we'll see you. We'll be back September 1st.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, that interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. The evolution of gunpowder to its ultimate limit has warned mankind of the terrible consequences of failure. So it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.